This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 49. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books, from epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, anything you can think of in between. We have the best and brightest authors and people associated with all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. Plus, we try to add in other special guests we come up with along the way, so you don't want to miss any of them. So let's start off with my personal update. Things are starting to settle down a little bit after the recent release of The Charm Runner, book one from the Broken Throne series. That's a good thing because I have to focus forward on the release of book two. Remember, I'm releasing these books, the entire five-book series, over the whole summer, every 3 weeks. So I got to get book two ready to go. I'll be releasing that book soon, in just a few weeks, and I'm pulling things together for that so that can have an epic launch just like The Charm Runner did. We'll have all five of those books out on Amazon and in Kindle Unlimited for anybody that wants to check them out. Also, if you want more information on what I'm up to in general or to find out when new releases are coming out, you can always visit my fan group over on Facebook. That's Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, or my Facebook page at Jamie Davis Books and my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. I always look forward to hearing from folks, whether you reach out to me over on my Facebook page, group, or drop me an email using the contact form on my website. Either way, it's always great to hear from you guys in the reader audience, in the podcast audience, whatever the case may be. All right, time to get into this week's episode interview. And today's episode features author Michael Chatfield, who is a Brit living in Canada and a friend of mine. Michael writes character-driven books in the sci-fi, fantasy, lit RPG, and cultivation genres. At this time, he's working on the Ten Realms and the Death Knight series, and he draws a lot of his time spent in the infantry and the Canadian military. And I don't know if that's infantry or infantier, because he wrote that. Let me go back and make a break there. At this time, he's working on the Ten Realms and the Death Knight series, and he draws on his time in the Canadian military to bring realism to his stories. While watching and matching that with his characters, he helps make them come alive and have the depth that helps drag you into his stories because of the connection that he brings to everything he writes. He's a great writer. I love his stuff. We talk about his books and more in my interview that's coming up, so check it out. Michael, welcome to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's really a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Jamie. It's great to be here.
So why don't we jump in and give you an opportunity to introduce yourself? I'm sure a lot of the people probably know a little bit about you at least, but some may not. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what got you started in this writing thing.
So I was, working for the army at the time, and I decided that I had, an idea for a book. I kind of mulled over it for a few months before I started writing on it. And then I put it out on Amazon, and it was a month or two later, it was starting to get a bit more momentum and people were like, "Hey, where's the next book?" And I started writing the next book, and I guess since that point, I've been writing the next book ever since. I think that was about 4 years ago now, and started off in science fiction, then went to fantasy, now in, lit RPG fantasy, and now into pure fantasy. So it's been a heck of a ride and a lot of fun.
Definitely, and I think you stumbled upon the same thing I did, which was nothing sells the last book like getting the next book out. And people kept asking me for the next book, so I kept giving them the next book. It really is kind of interesting how we both kind of fell into that same routine.
Oh yeah, and it's also addictive. I find like you're writing your stories and such, and people are like, "Well, like you don't have to write so fast," and you're like, Well, at the same time, I'm writing the story. I'm finding out what the characters are doing. And it's so much fun to be there with them and to keep on writing their story. It really adds in a huge enjoyment when you get to the end of it and then you can start on a new project or you're working your way through it. So when people are like, oh, don't burn yourself out, and you're like, but I'm having so much fun doing it.
Yeah. And honestly, I've been doing this for 4 or 5 years too. And it's like, I look at authors that only put out one book a year. And I think I would die at that pace. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people that write slower than I do, but for me personally, I have so much story that wants to come out and so many ideas I want to write, and I can't write the next idea I have until I finish the one I'm working on. So got to keep going.
Oh yeah, totally. It'll be like I think it's a terrible thing. It's great though. When you're writing one series and then you start developing another series on the side, and then you're like, oh, I want to, like, you do the series you're working on justice, of course, but you're also thinking about, once I get past this, I can work on the other series, I can meet new characters, and we could go through that. And it's whenever someone says that you're doing speed over the story, I never agree with that. I just think that it's like anything. You kind of optimize the way that you write because you, in a way, it's the inner kid in you. You're trying to catch up with all the toys that you want to play with by working on the toys that you have in front of you right now.
No, it's yeah, I completely agree. And it sounds like you're really character driven. It sounds to me like the characters are what make you, put the story together and build it around them. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's totally true. You probably find this too. When you plot out the story and it's all nice and set out, and then a character walks in and's like, well, that was nice, but I'm just going to completely change this way. And you're just like, oh, this is just like playing D&D games all over again. Like somewhat like you have a carefully crafted plot line and everything. And then they're just like, oh, we found this character over here. We're going to have more fun with them. And you're like, damn it. But it's a lot of fun to follow that in the interaction, because I find it kind of brings like a depth to it. Like you find it with the characters that you connect with them more as you're writing them, as you're reading them and so on. It can really grab you in the best and the worst ways for time, especially.
Well, and that's the fun of writing for me, I think, is that the characters surprise you. The characters are the ones that say, stop looking in that direction. Did you see what's over here?
Yeah, and like there'll be times like you're going through like a big thing that I've worked on is crafting. So you'll have someone who's crafting something and then you're actually working through it, and you have a simple, I just want to make a bow. And then by the end of it, they've made this monstrosity ballista. And you're like, okay, this makes sense. But how the heck did we get here? And what happened to the last 2 hours of my life? It's also incredible what a Google search probably looks like for authors with the amount of different things that are going on.
It scares me. I always wonder, you know, what'll happen if they ever serve the FBI search warrant on my history and my laptop. It's going to be quite interesting. I've looked up everything over the last few years, from best ways to dissolve a corpse with acids available to medieval people. I mean, it's just the things that go through my brain sometimes.
I found a calculator for antimatter, an actual calculator that figured out if you use like a pound of antimatter, what the effect would be. And I was like looking at this website, and I'm like, this is the one. This is the one where the FBI comes and finds me. So far, they haven't shown up. They're just probably watching everything I do now. It's incredible the different kinds of things that you'll like have to learn to bring that to the characters, to bring in that depth to them.
Yeah, definitely. But that's what makes it fun and makes the characters real and feel like they're real, breathing, live people. They're not one dimensional. They have that ability to skew in a different direction And that makes the story come to life, not just for the reader, but I think more importantly for us as we're writing it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think like one of the most interesting things is how we learn along with the characters, because the characters will come up with a question of, well, why can't I do that? And you have just a moment of just like, I'm going to have to look that up now, aren't I? And then you spend the next 3 hours researching this like kind of off the side topic kind of question that your characters come up with. But you need the answer to, because you don't want to just hand wavy them. Like, you can hand wavy them some stuff, like magic's kind of more hand wavy them since we don't have something to match it up with. But if it's like something like, how this person has a wound, how are we going to solve that wound? What would be the effects on the rest of the body of that? And it's like, oh, okay, like, now I've got to figure out, like, let me get out a medical textbook. Like, for you, it's probably going to be a lot easier, but for me, I've got to research it, like, again and again.
Well, for future reference, if you ever run into strange wounds and how to treat them, just shoot me a text and I'll try to talk you through it, because that's one advantage to being a paramedic and a nurse, is I get to help a lot of authors treat battlefield wounds and things like that.
Do you ever get it where you just like someone's asked you a question about a wound and you've given an answer and then you're just like, now what just happened there? Like the weirder kind of wounds.
Oh, well, it's funny. I had somebody that's writing like a it's kind of like a steampunky weird Western right now. Mm-hmm. And she was shooting me a lot of questions because there's like this huge gunfight that happens towards the end of the book. And one of the characters originally she had had them shot in the upper chest with a rifle, like a high caliber rifle bullet. And then they like rode off and like continued doing stuff for like 2 days. And I'm like, no, that they'd be lucky to last 2 hours with a wound like that. I mean, if it didn't outright kill them, their lungs would eventually collapse and they'd suffocate. But you could do this and this and this, and that might keep them alive a little bit longer. So she had to like change it and have it like shoot them in the arm and like nearly blow their arm off. But they were able to stop the bleeding and keep going for a little while. But yeah, it was, I get a lot of stuff like that.
It's interesting. Like these poor characters, you know, like we're just finding new ways to like take them to the limit. And they were like, Ooh, he just kind of went past this guy's limit. Okay. And then sometimes like the characters just die. Have you ever rolled for your characters?
I have not. That's an interesting concept though, because I write lit RPG as well. And, I have never done that. I have randomized some things in my books when I've needed to, but I've never rolled to see which character lives or dies or anything like that.
Yeah, there was one series where the characters went into this thing, they had a big fight, and there was three nat ones that were going on, and then one nat 20 that just saved their butts so hard, because otherwise I was going to have to like do a bit of a change around. But it was like, oh, there's some times where you could get very close to like, oh, this would hurt a lot. Or you'll get a message from a medical professional who will be like, yeah, your guy should have died like 15 times. And you're like, how? And they're like, oh, these ways. And then just lists it out. And you're like, oh, I feel so sorry for this guy now. Like he's probably not got the best health situation going on, but he's like been healed and looked after all this time. It's like, ooh, oopsie.
Well, at least you have the advantage, like in a gaming situation, that there's some sort of healing usually. There's some sort of magical healing or potions or some type of regeneration that can be affected in some way or another using game mechanics. That helps. But yeah, I know what you mean. It gets to be a little difficult sometimes. I actually had a character that became like blood brothers with a troll. Because she helped save his tribe, and by the act of like cutting their hands open and, you know, clasping hands with bloody palms, she actually gained the limited regeneration ability, which I have used to good effect ever since for that character.
Oh, yeah, no, regeneration is, it's sweet, because you'll have a character and they're like limping around with like one leg, and then they've got like their arms are like both messed up. It's almost like a Deadpool scene, mm-hmm. and they're like slowly regenerating and like, I'll get you in a minute. I just need to get far enough away to like heal myself that I'm okay. And it makes for great fun though.
It does.
To be able to bend that a little bit.
Well, like I made it so that like it's not really as effective as it would be for a troll, because it's for troll blood. It's not human blood. So it actually leaves scars. It doesn't completely heal. And so she, you know, she gets pissed off because she's got all these scars all over her that don't heal all the way when she has to use a regeneration. Whereas if she'd had a potion or something, it'll heal it. But the scars don't go away when she's forced to use regeneration. So,
but it's always interesting, like when I hear authors speaking about it, like when you're talking about your character there, it's always she and like she's become a very big entity. And I love that, because it's almost like authors are just scribes of someone else's life almost. Like, do you find that?
Absolutely. And the character in question, Carrie, is very alive to me. I mean, you know, I've written her partially into three books as a younger character, and then she comes out later on as an older, fuller grown person and has three books all her own. And in those books, she's just come into her own 100% and fully fleshed out. And it's amazing how attached you get to those types of characters.
Well, I think some of the most emotional times where you have to kind of like leave your computer and where you're writing is a character's died, and you're just like, I think I just need to take a day it's strange because you're literally mourning the fact that you will never be able to write another scene with them again, because they have passed away. Thankfully, with some of the gaming styles, you can like resurrect, or you can bring them back. But yeah, no, when sometimes you can't, and that's really harsh, and you're like, oh, that really, really hurts, but I understand.
Yeah, and actually it happens to another extent with when you wrap up a series, and you're kind of like, oh, well, I'm not going to go back there again, or at least not anytime soon, and it won't be the same because it's going to have to be different. So yeah, I completely get that. I want to shift gears, Michael, because I want to make sure we spend some time talking about specifically your books and what you just brought out recently. I think your most recent book is Skeleton with a Heart, Death Knight Book 1. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the most recent one.
Now, let me see if I understand this correctly, because I was looking through it briefly. I didn't get a chance to start actually reading, but I'm planning on it. It's in my pile here. It's about an actual undead knight, a dead former legion commander or whatever, and he's now a skeleton and named Anthony, who gets brought back to life and becomes the hero of the story.
So essentially, kind of the first scene who kind of puts it together. So Ayla is a dark elf. She's running from people, and she stumbles across this crypt. She tries to raise a guy, what she gets is someone complaining about people interrupting his nap and complaining about like nothing being sacred anymore. And then finally, with all the noise, because she's having a big fight outside of it, he's like, fine, all right, I'm awake, and stands up. And of course, in Anthony's manner, he stands up as a Death Knight skeleton and sticks his head through his own tombstone and kind of wears it as a necklace. And is just kind of like, what the hell is going on? Like, where are my clothes and stuff? Like, just like standing in the middle of this group. It's very much a comedic light series about Anthony, Ayla, and possibly others going on a, for, well, to guide Ayla across the land of Denna down to the Deepwood, where the higher elves live, to pass on a message that her mother has found out that something is happening. It's basically them adventuring forward, meeting a lot of people, having a lot of good fun, and Anthony being this kind of Death Knight, so he's all like grim and dark and stuff, like supposedly because he is like a necromantic soldier, but instead he's like this guardian of justice, so he goes around rendering justice to people, helping people out and that kind of thing. So it's, but he's also, as one of the reviewers said, and I love this phrase, he's a true bonehead, because he gets himself into so many funny situations and just like, how did this happen? It was a heck of a lot of fun to write. And so far people have said, they've had a lot of fun with it. It's a very light novel. It does touch on like things like, situations where to think through and so on, but it's very much a light novel. It's meant to be fun and enjoyable and to just have a good time with it.
Well, first of all, while I'm looking at this at the time we record this, it's number one new release in comedy, so congrats on that. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
And you know, I think that just sounds hilarious. I mean, I can just picture, you know, a knight, you know, a death knight, the typical skeletal death knight walking around trying to do good. And I'm sure like at least a percentage of the people are just terrified of him.
Oh, yeah. There's one point where like because he's been wearing armor and he kind of hides it. There might be times where people are just outright shocked. There's like because he's this valiant warrior of justice. And then they find out there's a skeleton inside that armor. And it's like, heebie-jeebies, I'm scared out of my wits and just jumping around kind of thing. So it definitely leads to a lot of fun times with that.
I have to ask you, I mean, this sounds like what a couple of things might have happened to give you this idea, one of which was somebody dared you to write a story about a Death Knight, which may actually have happened. I don't know or not. You'll have to tell us. But where did this idea come from?
So I was...
Because it's genius. It's just, it's a great concept.
Yeah, well, it was... So I'm working on another series, The Ten Realms, and it's a rather serious series, and it's a very large series. But I was just... I found that it was interesting to... I was writing more if I was writing on another project, and then, like, at the same time, because I found that a change was better than a break. Which is something that one of my author friends told me, and I was like, this is awesome. Yay, more words. But it was, I was reading a book about, it was just like an old knight-based book, and it was in his knight, and he went around, and he was doing these good deeds and all this kind of thing, and it was, and he was helping a lot of people out, and they in turn helped him out. And I was like, you know what this is missing? It's missing like some funniness. And I've had some characters in a few of my stories that have been, you know, that humor element where you just like everything, you're like, maybe I shouldn't do this. This might be a little crazy. And then you're like, nah, but this guy's going to do it anyway, so we'll have a bit of fun with it. I kind of wanted to do that character as a knight and like have him as this really good person, essentially, but he's also just ridiculous, and I just wanted to have like fun seeing how it would work. So it kind of just happened, and then it just turned into what it is, and I've been having a lot of fun writing the series and playing with the characters, and also the way that the characters interact with one another, because like Ayla is very much like, she's a dark elf, she's got her stuff sorted out and stuff, and her life is all like, it makes sense, and then Anthony happens, and then it's like her, like everything starts to change, and even she starts to change and stop being so serious and stuff. And it was, yeah, I got to play around with it that way, and a bit more than I could with some of the other works I've worked on.
That's great, you know, and I love the idea of changing gears and writing something completely different rather than just stopping writing altogether. What a great idea! And I know you said you got it from somebody else, but sometimes we get a lot of ideas from other authors and we don't always implement them. So, for, you know, kudos to you for giving it a try and finding success with it.
There's always, the one thing I've always found is there's always a nugget of information from every person that you meet that could change everything that you look at something.
Awesome. So I, you know, this is great. I assume there's more to come from this particular storyline down the road. Do you have an idea when you're going to have the second book? Because I know this is a quick read, and that's often, I think, really helpful, because a lot of times you read books and you get so caught up in the story, but it takes forever to get through it sometimes in these longer, especially epic fantasy stories. And to have a short read that's a quick, light read is sometimes just a blessing for the reader as much as it is for the author writing it.
Yeah, no, that was one thing. I think it's a great little summer read because everyone's got all the kids around and it's kind of a hectic time. And I really wanted to get to the core of the story. I didn't want to have them walking from place to place and all that like I have in some of my other series, just because I wanted to get into that story part. I really wanted to get down to the characters and the action. And I just cheated. I just was like, and they've arrived in this place. Which is actually has so far been received very well. But the next book, because they are rather short little books, it will be out next. No, oh, we're in July. It will be out this month. So yeah, it'll be out this month. I'm not sure when. So I've just got to get everything squared away. As you know, it's like you can put it – sometimes you're like good with dates and sometimes you're like, I just need to see if I need to change a few things and then put out a date kind of thing.
Makes sense. And since I record these ahead of time, folks, make sure you head over and check out the website for this episode, the page, because it may likely be that it'll be out and I'll have links to both books in this this particular episode's show notes. So hopefully that'll be the case, and you can get through both of them in a quick succession. So Michael, what else is on your plate? I know you said you were working on something else. What are other projects that you have coming up in the fall as things roll around?
I'm working on the Ten Realms. I'm working on the Death Knight series. I'm working on a series with Dakota Kraut at the same time. I should hopefully have out more audio. I'm sure, as you know, audio has become one of the larger ways for people to get to their books, because I think it's most people are driving, most people are commuting and so on.
Yeah, it's actually become a huge part of my author focus. In fact, I'm trying to focus more on getting the audiobook, if not out at the same time as the book itself. I'm trying to plan it so my audiobooks come out soon after the regular book is released. Trying to get those as close together as possible, because I think they benefit from coming out at the same time. You get that extra boost of traffic to drive both to the audio and to the regular books. And also, the audiobooks are just, like you said, taking off. More and more people have less and less time, except that they drive and commute and do the other things, that they can listen to an audiobook while they do other stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting the depth that narrators can bring into those audiobooks. I found listening to them myself that you get drawn in, especially the action scenes. You can get pulled in because they'll speed up the tempo that they're speaking at. They'll really bring it alive for people. It was when I was listening to one, I could feel like the hairs on the back of my head like coming up, and I was like, ooh, this is awesome. And it's different compared to what you usually have. But yeah, getting them definitely out as soon as you can, like as close to when the ebook is out, is definitely, I think it's the aim of many authors. I myself have been pretty bad at that, but it's something I'm trying to remedy as much as possible. And it's going to be interesting to see with audiobooks and having those releases to how those will go. But then for other projects, I'm working, I guess I can technically say this now, I'm working on a video game. So
that's awesome.
I'll be writing the story for a video game as well as items around it. Now, I'm not sure how much I can say about it other than I am working on a video game. There should be more information as well as a trailer out in a couple of months. But yeah, no, that was one of the things that I thought was really awesome was it's just an opportunity that came through working with Lit RPG.
That's pretty cool. And, you know, folks, I'll make sure to get their get them the link to your site so that they can follow what you're up to. And that way you can announce it to them directly when they follow what you're doing. So that'll be great.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Yeah,
no problem. And, you know, you and I could probably sit here and talk a whole lot longer. But what I'd like to do is maybe invite you to come back maybe later this year or early next year when you have some more projects to announce and talk about, and we'll get you back on the show and we can talk a little bit more maybe in depth about the video game once more information is out about it.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be great. I'm really looking forward to it. This year is going to be crazy, but you know, I think we say that about every year. And yeah, thanks for having me and thanks for hosting this. This was great. And I hope that your fans and my fans can really like listen into this and have a good time with it.
Definitely. Mike, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, and we'll definitely have you back.
Thank you very much.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the Fantasy Focus community, both over on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode. Let me know what's on your mind. Also, over on the website, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app. So do that. You don't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes because we've got some amazing authors scheduled in the coming months. And the next episode is episode 50, where we will be talking with Fantasy Focus Group founder Michael Evan about what he's got planned for that group and for the podcast promotion and everything else we're doing. He and I kind of partner up on this podcast and in the group over there, and there's a lot to come. So stay tuned for next week's episode on that. That's it for us here, though, in this episode. So as always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I write fun fantasy reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book if you sign up for my newsletter while you're over there. Whatever you do, though, subscribe. Come back here for the next podcast. And in the meantime, don't forget, keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.